Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. This Thanksgiving weekend, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling cases and conversations that we've had in the last year. Here's another one of those conversations.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with retired FBI special agent and Hidden Killers contributor Jennifer Coffendapper right now. Let's talk about Ellen Greenberg for a minute. I had a chance. I spoke with her PI 2 weeks ago. I spoke with her parents yesterday and learned about where things are at with that case. It's such a frustrating situation to be in. It seems very much that the roadblocks are coming within the Philadelphia PD, and then you get into the AG and you get into all different positions. Roadblocks every place that they go. In your opinion, in your expertise, how does that family go about trying to get justice? It's a petition out right now, but you know, it's a petition. What's your opinion?
I think the only way, and I've talked to the Greenbergs, and I think they're doing everything they can, but they really need to keep the media focus on this case mm-hmm. as much as they can. It's so old now, but people are impassioned by it. Mm-hmm. I'm impassioned by it. Talk about somebody who has gotten zero justice.
Yeah.
And not only that, to be, you know, just the absurdity to say that she killed herself. And the reason they're saying that, because of that, you know, silly latch, mm-hmm. which anybody can set that latch yep. and go and work out and come back and unset the latch and give a quick shoulder to the door. Having breached those doors and practiced breaching, that would tear that whole frame off if it were on there properly. And it's so difficult. I actually put a video, a SWAT video on my social media to show the damage and the difficulty a SWAT team has getting into a properly latched room.
Yeah.
It's so absurd. And then the 20 knife wounds and the stab to the head. And then they're trying to, you know, I guess he's trying to say, well, she was depressed. She was on these medications. It's just horrible how this woman was so victimized, was, I believe, murdered. Mm-hmm. And now due to, I think, the incompetency of what happened in terms of that crime scene, the fact it was turned over. I mean, you know all the details, your viewers, your listeners know all the details, but geez, it's just terrible. And to have it continue to be covered up is just horrible. I'm going to keep screaming about it on Twitter. And every platform I go on, I like to talk about this case. And I just hope the public pressure yeah. can come down on them to reassess properly. I don't know.
The only thing that's making sense to me is there's a lot of money that is involved, or threats of lawsuits that are coming up with this case, should it be explored more, or names being dropped. And we all know the direction that goes. And how well connected some of those people are that the public would consider, and I know the family would consider to be a suspect, but not by the law enforcement, at least not publicly at all. And I'm just wondering, when you have that sort of a dynamic where you have, you want to investigate this further, well, we're going to sue you, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. Politically, because of all the levers that are intertwined here, that seems to be, I would guess, why this has been held back so much. But even, you know, publicly or investigators trying to dig into this, I think many are shut down very quick should they go too far because of the fear of the litigation that could be involved with naming a name or talking about a possible direction where seemingly a lot of the evidence does kind of point. There's a lot of power there that can shut people up very quick, and it seems it's been working fairly well for them so far.
It has, but you know, a voice has come forward, Tony, and I will offline get you that name.
Okay,
that was in the prosecutor's office that saw this file,
mm-hmm.
and his jaw dropped, and he's starting to advocate.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot to me when wow. the prosecutor that. Saw this file and had it on his desk and, you know, I think he would be a really good person for you to interview, because he's coming forward with details that nobody can know other than being on that side, inside that prosecutor's office, and seeing how this case was just brushed away.
I'd love to find that out and have that conversation. I just feel that this family is so trapped. And it's crazy because it's out in the public. We know exactly where the inconsistencies are. We know exactly where justice is not being served in any of this. And it's blatantly obvious. If this petition, which I'm sure it will, receives its amount, I know they're trying to get the mayor involved to get this thing back off the ground. Do you think there's any room for that taking place here? Do you think that that's going to be a possibility?
Well, I think the mayor could have a big influence if he can look at this case and see the positives over the negatives for his mayorship from a political angle. If he can balance that and see it would be more positive for him, I could see him really putting some pressure on the prosecution side of this to move forward. There's a lot of evidence, though, as you know, that's lost because they had that apartment completely cleaned by a professional crime scene cleanup crew the day after because the police released it. You know, every time I revisit this case and talk about all these steps, that's what is in the balance, really, Tony, as you said. It's so much about money. They should be sued. There is such a great case that that crime scene never should have been turned over the day after, for heaven's sakes. And remember, the initial report was that it was a homicide, that it wasn't a suicide, and that changed later after a behind-the-door, you know, a closed-door meeting. It's really nefarious on the surface, on what we can see. And I really hope they get justice, because it's tragic. It's tragic.
Well, I'm wondering if we're going to start seeing more pieces come out here that have been sealed away with the civil litigation that is going to be going underway with Ellen's family. I believe they're going after the medical examiners for changing these sort of things. If there's no criminal process going on, maybe in the civil discovery, some pieces can come to light that otherwise would not have been ever shown.
Well, I think they should do or put together, and I know they have a very competent private investigator that's been working on this. I think they should put together a wrongful death suit against the party that they believe is responsible.
Yeah.
And because it's such a lower standard of proof. And, you know, we know from the OJ trial, I mean, he was found completely culpable and guilty in the wrongful death suits that were filed against OJ, even though the, you know, criminal proceeding didn't work. And I know their concern is that they have a suicide conclusion from the ME.
Yeah.
But my point is, put this in front of a jury, and I don't think any jury, layman or not, is going to buy that this is a suicide.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I would roll the dice. I know, I think they're trying to get it at least down to undetermined, which would help them in a civil proceeding. I mean, I think that that's kind of their goal. And isn't it sad, Tony, that what this family is left with is just trying to get an undetermined on a case like this.
Yeah, they're not even necessarily at this point. They said to me yesterday, we're not even going after who we think did it. We just want this to be changed from undetermined, or from suicide to undetermined, or homicide. One of the two, because that ball needs to be in play for a lot of the other balls to start rolling. But that, it's like one step at a time. It's completely ridiculous. I do wonder, and I did not ask them this yesterday, about what you just said. Why not file a civil suit against the party they believe is responsible? But again, I would think that that might go back to money again, knowing who I believe that they think is responsible. There's very deep pockets there that could likely just bury them in litigation and costs for quite some time. It wouldn't be just as simple as, hey, we're going to go to civil trial on this. And I wonder if that's what is the setback or the holdback on doing something like that.
Well, I haven't looked to see if there's been any GoFundMes on, I haven't seen any. I haven't really looked, though. But I can tell you at least my Twitter followers, and I personally would give, I think so many people would be willing to give to help with this litigation. Look at the litigation concerning Mr. Penny and the Subway, you know, chokehold situation. He raised millions in just a few weeks. because enough people believe that's egregious. I don't know anybody that can't see this as egregious. I think I did one tweet about this, and it was upwards 300, almost 400,000 people.
Yeah.
We're on that tweet, upset about this case. And there's so many more people out there that feel the same. So I think they could raise the money, quite frankly, you know, so that they could litigate this as a wrongful death with or without that suicide determination. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah.
I look at this case and it's been years. Mm-hmm. And I would make the move. I told them that too, but I understand why they're saying they're not. And maybe they've consulted with an attorney that said, listen, we've really got to get this undetermined first.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something like this. I think a lot of things need to be in their correct place for it to be effective.
Yeah, it's possible. Tony, I wanted to bring up really quickly on Koberger, but there's one other document that's really important that's coming out on July 14th. And then that is also from the Bureau, and it's regarding the Elantra.
Oh, like what they found in the Elantra in terms of examining it?
Well, no, but just the entirety of how they got to the Elantra.
Oh.
Even though the PCA really talks about the Elantra and who discovered that there was an owner, you know, in Pullman, and it really goes through that in the PCA. But they want to know all the details about how they took the video and narrowed it down to an Elantra that was 2011 through 2013, and then to include 2015. So there's going to be a big report regarding this, because in a way, this is the beginning of the case against Brian Koberger, right? This is the first thing investigators had that started down the path toward him, was that Elantra. It wasn't the DNA.
Yeah.
It's the Elantra.
Yeah. And getting all that lined out and explained, that will be, that's going to be very powerful.
Yeah. It's really important. And so all of that, I can just see all these agents and their supervisors right now looking over that case, every little bit of information, because remember, they're not only writing a report, they're having to look at all the documents that support their position, all the different video versions, all the videos that are out there. It's so monumental. I know people think, well, they've had 7 months to do this. From someone who writes these reports, that seems easy, but it's really not, because you have to go back and pinpoint every detail that you put in that report, and it has to be perfect.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.